Monitoring results.
Okay, this item was deferred from the last board meeting because the last board meeting was too long. This time we have a short board meeting. So
well, it's only 6:20. It's not 9:30.
Yeah. I put on the notice that we wouldn't hear this until 8 p.m. So we're just going to sit and wait for a while. Just kidding, Allison. While Allison is, have you got that ready to go there? Well, Allison's getting that fired up. I'll remind everybody that consistent with the last board meeting, I spoke with the chair about a request for some additional time for this item. So Preservation Inc., I'll use the shorthand name, requested 10 minutes. Following our staff presentation, and the chair approved that. Allison Jones will make our staff presentation.
Well, I granted that when time was in abundance.
I think there's room for negotiation there. Good evening, Chairman Young and members of the board. That is Chairman Young there, isn't it?
It is.
My name is Allison Jones. I'm the lead staff on the ag waiver. And I was going to offer to not do my presentation and just take questions if the board would prefer that. It's about a 10-minute overview program, and I could just answer questions if you'd rather do that.
Well, I'm really delighted to see the percentage of enrollment. That's exciting. I think that speaks well of all the coalitions in this region that have got together and said they were going to do certain things, and they've done it. And I take my hat off and applaud them for that.
Yeah, we were really pleased with that. And there was a tremendous amount of outreach, of course, leading up to the waiver and all the workshops, leading up to the enrollment deadline. Am I on? Yeah, the light's on. And it's continuing, so we're still tallying and getting enrollments even now as people are hearing about it. So it's kind of continually changing. In fact, we just updated our totals, and we think it's even higher than what we put in the staff report.
Can you talk a little bit about the letter that we received that talks about the funding for the PAM research?
And
tell me what that's all about.
There was a request for support. Now, there are PAM, or polyacrylamide, is a compound that is shown to be effective in reducing erosion. There have been, through the ag grants cycles, there were some projects funded to look at that. To look at its effectiveness, and also, many of the people on the panel for the ag grants, we had a lot of discussion about some concerns that we had and other people had, other regional board staff had, about possible environmental impacts from these chemicals, because it is a chemical. You are putting it into the environment, and it's been used in Washington State for a long time. But what the panel requested when the ag grants were approved was that there be some toxicological work and some compiling of information on the impacts of the chemical. So as these projects are going through and looking at that, we hope we'll get more information. Right now, there are, I think, two different projects. There was a Central Valley project, and there's also a project in our region that's going to be looking at PAM specifically, and we've asked those two projects to actually coordinate and compile information. So we should get more information on it from that. There is another cycle of the consolidated grants that includes money for ag projects, and there may be some projects in there that would also be looking at that. Excuse me.
The tables that are in the back here, Allison, the caption mentions hatched backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, where's the hatching?
It's not showing up in the your budget.
Well, I don't know, but I'm looking.
Yeah.
Is there hatching in here?
No hatching.
We're hatchless.
We can actually pull that up. That's not.
You're hatchless too.
You're grabbing.
No. There it is. So that's this represents, you know, the data that we received. The cooperative monitoring program we're being run by Water Quality Preservation Inc. has they've made a lot of progress. It's sort of like we're both are running on parallel tracks here, building programs from the ground up. So we had to, you know, develop our program and how to keep track of all this stuff and build databases and develop forms and things. Preservation Inc. has been doing the same thing, similar types of things, and building a program from the ground up, trying to get growers from across the region to sit down together. You know, we've got large growers, small growers, all different kinds of crops represented, and figure out a way to keep this monitoring program running over the long run. And how to fairly allocate the costs. And the fact that they have come up with a cost allocation structure and agreed on it is pretty amazing when you think about, you know, what the task they had before them. And so they've made a lot of progress, as this program has internally. And there's been some bumps along the way. You know, it's not been easy. I would say that it's been very challenging on both sides. And the new executive director for Preservation Inc., Kirk Schmidt, is here, and he may want to speak a little bit to that as well.
So phase one is well underway.
Yes.
Phase two is going to start next year.
Right.
We continue, though, to sample the phase one sites.
Yes.
Just add in the phase two sites.
Mm-hmm. Right. The phase one sites will continue.
And then we'll have phase twos, and then we'll continue with those for the 5-year period of the waiver.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
What period of time do you estimate is going to be sufficient for you to feel you have a comfortable, confident database from which to start drawing some conclusions?
Well, it depends on what kind of conclusions you're trying to draw. If you're looking for trend change, it depends on the variability of the data. And we did some analysis of some of our CCAMP data and looked at how long it would take us to show, say, a 30% improvement for nitrate, for example, over time at any one of our sites. And it really varied from, you know, a couple of years to 10 years, something like that, depending on, you know, how variable it is.
And before we get to worrying about trends, how about just baseline? I mean, with one set of samples, you're not going to conclude.
Right.
These are the levels of toxicity at this site.
Right.
So how many more samples are you going to feel comfortable with before?
Our sampling with toxicity, it's 4 times a year, twice in the wet season and twice in the dry season. If we were to show toxicity at a given site, well, these are 100%, the ones that the bar is all the way to the bottom, 100% toxicity. If we were to see that consistently at a site, I think we'd be pretty clear there was a problem, because 4 times a year is not very frequent, so you have the chance to miss events. But obviously, the more often you sample, the better handle you have on what's going on, which is why we did the monthly data for trend monitoring. Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think that sort of emphasizes the importance of the follow-up component of the program, that we will be working with them on some follow-up study plans to go ahead and, once we get the next, we're going to get the next data submittal at the end of September. We'll be looking at that and then working with them to do some follow-up, some prioritize some sites, do some outreach, and look at the look at where they want to, you know, do more sampling.
That'll happen next year with phase one sites.
We're going to be starting the planning for it in the next few months. Well, I think they're already talking about the planning for it, but and we'd like to get like the study plans in place and get going on it if possible this year. But realistically, it takes a while to do quality work with monitoring, and you might need to look at a seasonal component potentially. So I think they're getting started now. They needed to have enough data to look at in order to make good decisions about where to place their effort first. So we're going to have two rounds of data in at the end of this month. And I think it's a reasonable time to start really looking at where some good choices are for putting some effort for follow-up. That's going to be challenging because some sites are logistically more difficult. They have multiple inputs from, you know, urban areas and so forth. And they're just starting the program, so we're sort of suggesting they choose some sites that might be more straightforward and not necessarily less of a problem, but simpler to understand. And the main goal of the follow-up is to answer the question, you know, how do we solve the problem? How do we solve this problem? Where's it coming from? What do we do to solve it, make it better?
Does any of the data from the stations, did it surprise you? Did you see anything that you didn't expect?
We haven't had much toxicity data through CCAMP just because of our budget. We didn't have the budget to collect it until we were, I think, in the Santa Barbara area. So we'd already gone through Santa Maria and Salinas and hadn't been able to sample those areas for toxicity. So that's been very interesting for us to look at the toxicity. We've never been able to sample for the selenostrum, which is the alga, which also can give you a sense of biostimulation as well as toxicity. So that was new data for us and very interesting. Sorry. He hates it when I say it's interesting.
It should have some meaning.
But I think in terms of any real surprises, there, you know, nothing we really didn't kind of expect.
No. Maybe we did have some new sites that had never been sampled.
Fascinating would be a better word.
Yeah, use fascinating.
It was fascinating.
New sites that we hadn't sampled through our program. So that was new information for us. Not unexpected, but new information. And some of the locations that were new to us were some of had some real issues, so that was very helpful.
Any sites where they were clean enough that you might be thinking of dropping them from sampling?
I don't think the goal is necessarily to only sample problem sites. Okay. The goal was to sample water bodies that have problems, okay. But really to understand the water body, you might have an area that has intensive ag that's not causing a problem in the water body, and it would be good to know that. So I'm not sure that we should be basing site decisions on whether there's a problem or not. I think it's more on does the water body have an issue, and are the sites arranged to characterize that.
But if it's not, if there is no impact to the water body, why would the monitoring continue?
Well, I don't think we'd want to, you know, overplace sites in clean areas. But on the other hand, if we have growers that there's not a water quality problem in there, it might be really useful to look at those sites and look at what they're doing. And but part of it is characterizing extent. You kind of end up with some sites that are at the upper end of the problem area. So if you're looking from upstream to downstream, it helps you understand the extent of the problem. But I think if we felt like we were short on sites to characterize other water bodies well, then we should consider potentially moving those. Yeah.
Or just reduce the number. Yeah.
One of the issues has been actually that we sort of, it wasn't exactly arbitrarily, but we put half the sites into the phase one, and there were two sources of funding that geographically imposed an area. So we pretty much shoehorned 25 sites into, you know, the Santa Maria and lower Salinas areas because that's where the funding source allowed for them to be. So one of the issues I think that we've discussed with Preservation Inc. is just the balance as we move into new areas, do we have too many in those areas that we were sampling in phase one, and would it make sense to shift any of them, or does it come out looking about right? We want to make sure we have adequate coverage and so forth.
Where are the phase two sites?
There will be a number of water bodies elsewhere in the region,
right,
including Pajaro, the Santa Barbara Coast area. I think there's a couple in the San Ynez. So it's everywhere where we have TMDL-listed water bodies associated with agriculture besides the Salinas and Santa Maria.
Okay. Is that it for staff's presentation? I guess unless there's other questions from the board.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
You know, as I said, it's really challenging, you know, building something from the ground up, and we've had a few bumps along the way, and losing one of our key staff people at a critical time has made it difficult. But we had C camper Dave Paradis step in and sort of rescue us, so we're moving forward.
Right.
And I think, again, it's been really kind of inspiring to see, you know, how much effort people are putting in, not only on, you know, staff end, but also the ag industry groups and the technical assistance people. You know, we went to the Farm Water Quality Short Courses that we participate in. They pulled together a meeting of all the presenters from across the region. And so the way those courses are set up, you know, people, different technical experts come and do presentations and on hydrology and nutrient management and irrigation management at each course and for, over 15 hours. And they pulled together all the different presenters that we work with. And we just sat down and had a big meeting talking about how to improve presentations. The groups were working together. So everybody's continually working to make it better. And you know, that's another piece of this whole thing.
Well, you guys have done a great job, you know, and it's really something. And, you know, throughout the state, the other regions, you know, do look on our region and this program. And, you know, either they like what they see or they find some reasons why they can't replicate the same thing. But I think that has to do, the success of this has a lot to do with, you know, the two of you and the staff that are helping you with this. So, and then, you know, with the ag community in the region too, you know, coming to the plate, and it really has been a very joint cooperative effort. So, you know, everybody needs to be commended for this. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I had a chance to look at the program early on, when the water quality program, how it was developing, and one of the questions that I was interested in understanding was the opportunity to offer the course in different languages. And I'm wondering if you can fill us in on how that has panned out, and if you think that water quality courses will be offered frequently enough for those operators who speak different languages? Is it more than just Spanish? Do we have Asian or any other languages that are going to be addressed?
Spanish is the main one, and they just finished their new schedule. They're going to offer 33 short courses over the next year and a half, and 10 of those are going to be in Spanish. So pretty much one a month around the region. And we have been able to contract with an interpreter because, you know, none of us speak Spanish fluently. And so we have an interpreter that goes with us and helps us do our part of the presentation. And then the rest of the presenters are either our Spanish speakers themselves, so they are able to line up. So that's the main. There has been some talk and some discussion of maybe doing something in Chinese. And Amanda Byrne from our staff actually has been to some meetings with Chinese growers, and she has some interesting stories, some very entertaining stories about it. But you know, that's another level that right now we just staff-wise we probably can't do. If some of our partners are willing to try to work on that, we'll certainly try to help them. But the main one will be Spanish, and we also have had our documents translated into Spanish and all the enrollment forms now.
Okay, should we hear from Preservation, Inc. Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you.
Sure.
Chairman Young, members of the board, Mr. Briggs. Briefly, Preservation, Inc., and I'm the new executive director of the last 3 weeks of Preservation, Inc., has been working hard to put together a series of programs with the agriculture community to develop to oversight of the monitoring program, the cooperative monitoring program, which is going along well with 25 sites. More importantly was to reach out to the diverse agriculture going from Ventura County in the south to San Mateo in the north and come up with a cost structure that would be equitable to all of agriculture. We have farmers that are quite profitable with 10 acres, and we have obviously some agricultural organizations in the Salinas Valley and grape industry with thousands of acres. We have come up with a proposed fee structure which will allow us to enter into phase two next year. We have run into some organizational problems as a new nonprofit, which is to be expected. However, our biggest single problem is the large number of farmers who have sent in NOIs, and we are working with your staff to be able to send bills out to the farmers to fund the next phase of the cooperative monitoring program. We have encountered some delays in that regard, which will mean that we have a transitional problem between now or the end of this year and when we're able to send bills out at the end of this year and when we start receiving funds for this process. However, I think by working with staff and your board, we'll be able to work through this as we're able to identify these problems. Thus far, the entire funding mechanism has been in the form of grants, and as you're well aware, the grant structure is set up where we submit an invoice for approval, and the money is eventually distributed out to the independent contractors. As we get to the point where we have to send bills out, we will have the unfortunate experience of having to hire employees and paying rent, and there are very few landlords or employees who want to be paid 4 months hence. And so we'll have to work on coming up with a new way to access our funds to pay these overhead items. Most importantly, most of the agricultural community, and particularly all the large farmers, have come behind this program because they see it as actually giving them significant potential to meet your goals. And with the results from not only the cooperative monitoring, but the other monitoring that's available, whether it's C-CAMP or other regional monitoring, to see where their farms impact the environment. One of the biggest problems they've had to date, and this is now being remedied with your website, is the ability to determine what type of impairment there is on the waterways in which they farm so that they can determine what areas they need to address in their farming practices to improve water quality. As we are able to get this information out on a tributary basis, it will allow individual farmers to improve their results because they can see what they're doing that is adverse to the environment. At the present time, we have many farmers that are doing a clinically excellent job. However, it may be some small item that they could fix that would allow them to do a better job once they know the results of the monitoring. And we're hopeful that when we get into phase two, this will be more readily available. And in the last regard, we are starting to discuss the follow-up monitoring for phase one, which will be conducted this fall. And we have identified the sites for phase two, which will start at the beginning of next year. And one last thing in there, we look forward to working with other organizations who are doing monitoring that are very parallel to what we anticipated in phase two. For example, Mark Los Suertos of UCSC is monitoring 25 locations on the Pajaro River, 12 locations of which are the same that we have designated in phase two. So it may be possible to work with him to cooperate and give us better results at a more reasonable cost structure. And if there are any questions.
Is there anything that the board can do to assist with this? Anything that you see on the horizon?
I believe, quite candidly, that before the end of the year, Preservation Inc. will have to return to the board to request some supplemental funding to get us through the period of time where we don't have any income from the agricultural community in income by means in from the billing process, because we will have to have an office. We will have to be able to answer phones and explain to people in the agricultural community what these new bills are. We have today, I believe, worked out a very viable way to validate the information that was sent in by farmers to the notice of intent, with the notice of intent. Some of the farmers input there or filled out the boxes in ways that were inconsistent with the way they were put into the database. And I think this is because it's a new process. However, we believe that we are so far ahead of the timeline with the cost allocation that we now have time to send out follow-up letters to everyone who has submitted notice of intents to make sure that the data we have for the irrigated acres and the data we have for the storm runoff versus the tailwater acres is accurate. So when bills go out at the beginning of December for payment on January 1st, that the information in that bill cycle will be correct and won't cause a lot of people to call your staff to find out where this data came from. And I think that this will also give us an opportunity and give your staff an opportunity to alert the agricultural community that they will be, not only did they sign up for the agricultural waivers through the notice of intent, but they will be participating financially in phase two. And if you consider the funding that's presently here with the proposition money that carries us through the first 3 years of phase two, which funds about 70% of the first 3 years, in the fourth year of phase two, which will be the fifth year of the waiver, the agriculture community will have to bear the burden absent further grant funding on their own. And so it's important to have accurate records at the outset, so when we get to that point, everyone understands that we should take this seriously and work in a cooperative way to give you the data you need, get the farmers the information they need so they can improve quality and also keep the cost down as much as possible, because agriculture, as you're well aware, is not a high-margin business.
Can you get the bills out before December 1st?
Until today, there were some problems in your database. And there were input errors. For example, the California State Parks was input as first name California State, last name Parks. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not quite sure if Mr. Parks would respond to the bill that they received. There were many LLCs where the last name was LLC. Well, again, I'm not quite sure if my company received something to Dear Mr. LLC, we would be inclined to respond favorably with a remittance. So if we get these items cleaned up, and Dave Paradis has gone incredible steps to clean this up, and if we are then able to verify the acres, then we'll be able to get the bills out as soon as possible. If we could get them out before December 1st, it would be wonderful. But given the some clarification issues on the actual acreage, it may not be possible.
And how much money do you think you might be requesting from the board?
I've learned a long time to know never to speculate in public about large sums of money.
Kurt has large sums of money. Have you run into much resistance from the growers at this point in time? I know we have 74% registration. What about the other 26%? Are there resistance still?
Yeah, it's interesting that the remaining 26% falls into three categories. It falls into people who would have registered if they knew, and primarily the people who have registered are members of the 23 agricultural organizations that have been working on this process for some period of time. However, there are other agricultural organizations that were not in the loop, and a good example is the California Flower Growers Association. A friend of mine is the past president of that association. I was having lunch with him recently and talked to him about this, and he goes, I have never heard of this program. Yet this is the type of individual who clearly would have submitted his NOI on January 1st if he knew about it. So there's a small group of people who would register immediately if they knew about it. There's a larger group, primarily of Hispanic farmers, that we're trying to do more extensive outreach with, and ALBA is working with us in the northern end of the district on the outreach to Hispanic farmers to make sure they get into the process. And then, of course, as with in all regulatory things, there's a element of the agricultural community, like all business entities, that are just recalcitrant, and your enforcement arm will have to bring them in kicking and screaming.
And we can do that.
They could just be sentenced to one of your long meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
What can I say?
Any other comments, questions? Mr. Briggs.
Not for Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any members of the public wish to address us on this item?
I did want to point out, I mentioned Mr. Dan Merkley at the very beginning of our meeting before he actually arrived. He's here now. He's with the state board. He is the statewide ag coordinator. And thanks for joining us. I don't know if you have anything to say.
And that's the State Water Resources Control Board.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I will be very brief since my wife thinks I'm back down here visiting my old girlfriends from 30 years ago when I went to Cal Poly. She thought I was going to be home about 8 tonight. She knows better now. I'll tell her the meeting was very interesting.
Fascinating.
Oh. I'd spoke to Allison sometime back about coming down here because I wanted to introduce myself to all of you and make myself available as a resource to you to help with communication between the state board and your board on agricultural issues. As mentioned earlier this morning when board member Segundi was up here, the recent newspaper article in the Sacramento Bee shows maybe some breakdowns in communication, and it's just coincidental because I was planning on coming down before that happened, but that's that is exactly what I would like to offer myself up to all of you for, is to help with those kinds of things. If there's questions or concerns, pick up the phone or shoot an email to me, whatever it takes. I'm here to help with that, and I do want to reassure you that there are at least 3 board members and probably 5 that have told me directly there is no intention of reducing the staff on the waiver program. That was a very bad communication problem. For whatever reason. Okay.
Okay.
So, at any rate, I just wanted to introduce myself and make myself available to all of you. And I have been holding this region up as an example to the others, which sometimes doesn't go over real well, as a shining example of how cooperation and building relationships and partnerships works, and this program really has done a fantastic job. One of the common things I hear is, well, it's not as big as the Central Valley region, and as that is true, I think duplicate attitudes, efforts, and whatnot that have taken place here, and it doesn't matter what size it is, I think it can be very very useful, very beneficial.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, the personalities you get involved with problem solving, you know, have a lot to do with the outcome and approaches that you use. So, you know, I think it could be replicated if you have the right mix of people involved.
The various reports that I've given within Cal EPA or around the state about this, I've also cautioned not to misinterpret what I'm saying, that it's been easy, that it's been a very difficult process for all of the people sitting around the table working together with very different viewpoints, but there's that willingness to do it and the attitude, the right attitude, and that makes all the difference in the world. So.
Well, you know, we had four workshops. I think from where we started from and where we ended up, you know, we all changed our perspectives and positions, and the final product is a result of that. So, anyway, thank you for your comments.
Yeah.
Okay. We ready to move on?
Can I show you two slides very quickly?
Only if it's very interesting.
Okay. All right.
But I don't really mean that sarcastically. It is interesting information to get everything validated, and you know, you want to make sure that the assumptions that we've made, the staff has made, you know, not completely incorrect.
Right. There's a lot of verification, yeah. And you know, as Rick mentioned, there's been some glitches, yeah. You know, and when you get.
I know Roger's hard, you know, to live with, but you know, we love him anyway.
How tall were those two women?
It got taller than that. And then I just wanted to give you I just did a quick graph of our different, the number of enrollees we have in our different regulatory programs, just as a comparison. So you'll feel sorry for me. Thank you. You didn't see the first one? That one?
Oh, wow. Well, you're smiling, so how bad can it be?
That was a shock.
Well, it's just before she was crushed by the falling column.
Well, there's nothing in Montana as interesting as this, right?
Very true.
Yeah.
Darn interesting.
We had one card for this item, but I think he's gone. It's Rob Almy. I don't see him.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, he left. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Switching.